Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillah. Elhamdülillahi nehmaduhu ve nesta'inuhu ve nestağfiruhu ve nu'minu bihi ve netevekkelu aleyh. Ve na'udu billahi min şururi enfusina ve min seyyiati amalina. Men yehdihillahu fela mudille leh ve men yudlilhu fela hadiye leh. Ve neşhedü en la ilahe illallah vahdehu la şerike leh. Ve neşhedü en seyyidena ve nebiyyena ve mevlana Muhammeden abduhu ve rasuluhu. Sallallahu ta'ala aleyhi ve ala alihi ve ashabih ve baraka ve selleme teslimen kethiran kethira. Amma ba'd, fakat kâle Allahu ta'ala fil Kur'anil Mecid vel Furkanil Hamid. Ba'd a'udhu billahi mineşşeytanirracim, bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya eyyuhallezine amenu, innemel khamru vel minsiru vel ensabu vel ezlamu رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. وقال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear respected elders, brothers, and those listening at home, one of the topics that we as sometimes even parents or elders shy away from to tell our children is that of there are some aspects in life which are looked frowned upon by every aspect of society. And one of these is intoxicants, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs. Intoxicants is anything that makes the mind, as we say in Urdu, jo dimag ko zail karta hai. And this is why, very interestingly, wine in Arabic is called khamar. Wine in Arabic is called khamar. And one of the names of the hijab that the woman wears is called khimar. It comes from the same root word. The reason being, khamar, anything that makes the mind or covers the mind, does not allow the intellect to be as it should be, that is called khamar. And in the very same way, one of the key aspects of the hijab or the khimar is that it covers up the woman. And this is why it's from the same root word. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمَرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ. Four things. Number one was khamar, which is intoxicants. Yani jo bhi nashadar cheez ho. وَالْمَيْسِرُ, gambling. وَالْأَنْصَابُ and وَالْأَزْلَامُ, two other things. One of them was to worship stones. One is a stone that is worshipped or put in a specific place. In our times, for example, another religion, they may have a stone that they worship. And everybody worships that stone. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you're traveling. You find a stone. You say, this is a beautiful stone. And you keep it in your travels and you worship it. And when you're finished with it, you get rid of it. This is what Allah is rating here. And the last one is the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people, when they wanted to do something, so they have something very important to do. Shall we do this business? Shall we travel here? So what they used to do, they used to go to the guardians of the haram. They used to go to the guardians of the haram. And the guardians of the haram, they used to say to them that we want to do such and such a thing. Can you please bring me the arrows? So they would bring one arrow, or they would bring a few arrows, and they would pick one from there. And one would say, do it, it's good for you, good luck. One would say, don't do it, bad luck. One might say, come again later on. So this is what they were doing. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and the reason we can understand this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom, wanted to show how detestable intoxicants were. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put intoxicants in the same group of worshipping stones. Allah azza wa jal put it in the same group as that person that has a superstition that maybe I should do it, maybe I should not. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O who believe, innama al-khamru, that without a doubt, exclusively, there's no other way about this, innama al-khamru, the intoxicant, wal-maysiru, the gambling, wal-ansab wal-azlam, the worshipping of a stone, and within that aspect, having superstition, ritsum min amali shaytan, this is the work and the filth of shaitan. You know, when you want to say something is detestable, something is not good, one is you can say, this is not good for you. If somebody does something wrong, you can say, this is bad for you. But if you want to say that this is so bad, and you want to make it one above, ritz is used for the toilet. What's inside? And when you go to the toilet and you relieve yourself, that is ritz. That's what we classify as ritz. Meaning Allah is trying to say, this is not just bad. There is different levels of bad also. That when it comes to intoxicants, this is ritzum min amali shaitan. That this is the filth, that you can't go above this. This is the filth that is from the work of shaitan. Meaning that any rational person would have seen and would have understood that this is bad for me. But Allah Azza wa Jal has told us that shaitan has made it his work that he will make this sound like good even though it's worse than a toilet. To make us understand, that's why I'm using these words. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then relates, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. Will you not refrain? Refrain from this. This is amr, that you have to refrain. You can't go near this. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. If you want to be successful. Now, interestingly, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that obviously, as we knew, the Arabs at the time, they used to have alcohol, intoxicants, especially alcohol. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he made a dua that, Wallah, make it so that this is finished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually, first the verses were revealed. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask about the intoxicant and the gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. Tell them that there is little benefit, but so much bad. And ith means like a sin. Like it's so much. So a lot of people then stayed away. Umar radiallahu ta'ala and then said, Ya Allah, make it so that you make it clear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then relates, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la taqrabu salata, that do not go near salah. Wa antum sukara, when you are intoxicated. Now why this? Because the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, they were so into their salah. They used to ensure they pay the tahajjud, the five salah, the nawafil. So this now made it very limited time for them to do any of this. Then this verse that we just related, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then relates after this the third time, that Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, the O believers, do not innama al-khamru, that indeed the intoxicant, the gambling, the worshipping of stones, wal azlam, the superstition, this is the filth of shaitan. فَاجْتَنِبُوا, so refrain from it. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala and says, Oh Allah, intahayna, we have refrained from all of this. Hence, what is, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates that al-khamru jumma'u al-ith, that intoxicant is a mother of all evils. And this is why, in a tradition, in this verse, the Mufassirun rahimahullah relate a tradition where they state, a pious person, he was called to somebody's house. And the person, once was called to the house, he found that after a few rooms, there was a woman in there. And she says to him that, I see you in your monastery. I mean, this was previous before Islam. I see you in your monastery. And I have an inclining for you. so commit zina with me. So he says, no. So then she says that if you do not commit zina, then at least kill this person. It's a grave sin. So he says, no. So then she says that at least just drink this. And then he relates that he was a abid, not a alim. Meaning he was a worshipper without the knowledge, complete knowledge. So he thought, it's only a bit. I will keep her happy and go. When he drinks this, which is intoxicated, he ends up committing the zina and he also ends up killing the person. And this is where he relates, Al-Khamru Jumma'ul Ith, that intoxicant is the mother of all evils. You want someone to do everything, you give him intoxicants. And hence this is the reason why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah relates in his Musnad under authority of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an relates, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, La'anatil khamaru ala ashrati awjuhin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed 10 matters of khamar. As we said at the beginning, khamar technically means wine. But khamar is also used for intoxicants. And this is why sometimes a person says, where is drugs in the Quran? Khamar actually literally means anything that makes the mind go. And this is why I said right at the beginning, just for the ones that weren't here, this is that same word used for a hijab, a khimar. Khimar is from the same root word. Because a woman, when she wears a hijab and a khimar is when you cover up from the front also. So when the hijab comes all the way to the front and you cover your front part also. And because you're covering it up, it's called a khimar. Just like the khamar, it covers up the intellect. Hence, this is why intoxicant in itself, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then relates that 10 matters in relation to intoxicants were cursed. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates that khamar intoxicant itself is cursed. Meaning that person that takes intoxicants, he is cursed. Number two, you drink it, you smell it, you inject it, whatever the case is, in whatever format you take it, that thing is also cursed. You give it to somebody else, that is also cursed. You sell it, that is also cursed. You buy it, that is also cursed. If it comes to alcohol and you brew it, that is also cursed. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that even if you don't brew it, you tell someone else to make it for you, that is also cursed for you doing this. Even if you carry it, you carry from A to B, that is also cursed. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then relates that whoever carries it, whatever it is carried in, that is also cursed. And last but not least, that person that consumes it and pays the price, he is also cursed. A great question now we'll ask, that why is it so that this is al-khamr? Number one is al-khamru jumma'ul ith. This is such a great sin, but why? Because Islam just, you know, when we look at Islam in a human rights format, it doesn't just look at the individual. It looks at society at first. And if you look at any statistics today, you find yourself looking at any research, that place or that area that consumes the most alcohol, you will find that they will have the worst crime rate also. You will find that they will have the worst aspect, not just crime, domestic violence, abuse. All of these aspects come in for one factor. You go on a Friday night to the hospital. Try it. Go on a Friday night to the hospital. And you will find more than 60% of the cases is in relating to al-khamar. Or because of intoxication. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal has made this so severe. That a Muslim and intoxicants, this is impossible. That how can he be a Muslim and take intoxicants? This is one of the reasons why. Now imagine this. A person says, you know what, I'm taking only one tablet. I'm only taking, this is when you ask a person that says intoxicant, I'm taking one tablet. This one tablet is cheaper than a cigarette. This is the world we live in. This one bag is cheaper than a pack of cigarettes. But the issue is, when you take that one tablet, you say, by Maulana, nothing has happened to me. I am still sane. I know what I am doing. But he doesn't know what's happening inside here. You take the one tablet, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it can never be so that a person takes intoxicants and iman stays in the same body. The iman comes out and is lifted out of his body. By Allah, if he dies in this state, he dies without iman. Now the question is, what is iman? What's the value of iman? It relates the hadith of Bitaqa, a very famous hadith. Which Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah relates in his book, that he states that a person on the day of Qiyamah, he will come to front of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will be shown 99 books that he has done and he has committed sins, as far as that I can see. And he, Allah Azza wa Jal, will say to him, that do you disagree with any of this? He says, by Allah, what your angels have written is haq. I do not disagree with any of this. So then Allah Azza wa Jal will say, that are you sure, do you think my angels done wrong? He will say, by Allah, I committed all of this. Then one letter or one little slip will come out. And it will be said that go to the place of weighing. 99 will be on one side. This little slip of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, will be on one side. And he will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, how is it possible? What is the point of me weighing this? How can it be so that 99 books of what I have done bad and one slip? Allah Azza will say that today there will be no zulm on you. We will not be unjust on you. Place this on the scale. He will place this on the scale. And he will find that little slip of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, will outweigh all of the 99 books. This is from the mercy of Allah. And the question is why? Because here Muhaddithun rahimahullah relate that he said this La ilaha illallah with such sincerity that Allah forgave all of his sins. Allah forgave all of his sins. And the sins that he committed were the minor sins. So imagine, a person takes intoxicant and he goes from this world. How many times do we see this? A person is intoxicated and they are going from this world. This is why it relates. A person that takes any intoxicant, a person that is committing adultery, and if his soul is gone from this world, then remember that iman and intoxicant and adultery cannot be in the same soul. Hence he goes from this world, his name is Muhammad. His name is Abdullah. In the eyes of people, he was a Muslim. In the Akhirah, he was non-Muslim. And he will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوا ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَسْلُكُوا Allah Azza wa Jalla relates. Hence, this aspect of intoxicant, this is why the ulama relate. Allama ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah relates here that intoxicants, and before this Ibn Hajar al-Makki rahimahullah ta'ala relates that intoxicant creates 120 issues. Imagine 120 issues, and then he lists all of them literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which you don't have time for. Allama ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala relates here that intoxicants, he says, even if you don't have the rational understanding that it doesn't do any harm, though in this day and age we have enough research for this, but let's just say, hypothetically, it doesn't do any harm. He says it does one harm. It takes you away from the remembrance of Allah. And that is enough for you to stop. And as we finish off with this, it is important to understand, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relate this first verse number one, as we said, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at the beginning, related the second verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Second verse. Then when he was forbidden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And as we said right at the beginning, intoxicant is related in the same verse as worshipping a stone, as superstition. And it wasn't because that these things were not said before. It was to show us the great aspect of how bad the sin is. Ritz, you know, and I said this, look, one is a sin, but one is so dirty that it's incomprehensible. You know, if you say to someone that this is bad, but you say to someone that this is filth like the toilet, there's a two massive differences here. This is filth like the toilet, you don't even want to look at it. Rationally, you don't even want to think about it. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed intoxicants. So it is for us, number one. And the last verse that Allah states here, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَارُ. If a person has these issues, it is no problem. Take counseling. Take rehab. You know, those places where they help you, it is essential that we go to those places and sort ourselves out. Because if you don't, by Allah, you will destroy not yourself. You will destroy yourself anyway. But you will destroy your family with you. You will destroy the relationships you have around you. And how many times have we seen sisters complain that my husband is a drug addict? How many times do we see that parents complain that my son is a drug addict? How many times do we see a brother complains that my brother is a drug addict? By Allah, we have come to a stage now where the husbands are saying my wife is a drug addict. We are in such a stage. Number one is learn Islam. Follow Islam. Number three, if there are issues there, work on them and sort them. Don't put them under the carpet. Don't say it's fine. It's only one tablet. It's only one spliff. Because remember, that one spliff takes away your iman. That is enough for us. That should be enough warning for us. This is why it is utmost importance that we understand the great, the you know, huge aspect of this. Whether it makes $1 million. Imagine you die from this world without iman. You can have £1 million. What are you going to do with it? And the blessing that is devoid out of all of this, that's another, you know, that is another khutbah for another day. May Allah give us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us ability to understand. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, Azan will take place.
الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله